Okay, good morning, everybody. First of all, I want to give a huge yashka. I think almost everybody here from Chanabet. But the biggest yashka, really, I want to give yashka to Chesky Glad to see a number of guys learning Friday morning Seder, but not just learning Tosos about Karpish, is really a tremendous chizuk for me. That means it's totally shema. And that was the whole idea of Friday Seder, which started a number of years ago. But to mamash walk into the Beis Medrash and see guys learning Gemara b'Hasmada Atzuma is just a tremendous chizuk, and I'm very, very excited about it. I just saw a beautiful vort, and we'll try to build off of it and say a few other things. But it's the first piece in Aleinu L'Shabeach on this week's parasha. Pasuk tells us, Kisiyena li'ish shtei nosim ha'achas ha'uva ve'achas sinua. When a man has two wives, right back in the day, before Tachanus Rebbeinu Gershom, it was accepted, it was possible. You have two wives, one's beloved, one's not so beloved. V'yodu lo vanim, right? They have kids. Ha'uvam ha'snua, the beloved wife and the not-so-beloved wife have kids. V'hoya ha'ben ha'bechor l'sniya. And v'hoya, and it was, or it is, that the son, the firstborn son, will be to the snua. Now, the Barbanel is medayik, the most amazing thing, that I'm sure I personally never thought of this. It doesn't say v'im haben habechor l'snua. It doesn't say if. It says almost like a matter of fact. V'ya haben habechor l'snua, and the firstborn son will be to the hated one. How does the Torah know that that's going to happen? Like, it's automatic. It's for sure. So this is the question of Barbanel, and he answers. And he, let's quote, it's so important to quote. Now first of all, just so you understand, Rav Zilberstein said, Chesky, I gave you a big extra cut. To see the guys learning Friday morning Seder, learning Tosfos is like, learning Friday Seder is one thing, learning Tosfos Friday morning Seder is Givaldic. I had a tremendous chizuk from it. And just to understand how Rav Zilberstein writes this, he says, that Estiruto Sha'al Barbanel Yishlahachter Heitev Elibenu. The answer of Barbanel should be internalized into your heart. Okay? I'm going to quote it. And I saw it inside. If the firstborn son is to the hated wife, to teach us, when a person has two wives, one will be beloved, one won't be beloved. Tamid ha-ben ha-bechor l'snua. It will always be that the firstborn will be born to the not beloved one. Does anybody want to bring me the raya? What's the raya that the Barman brings? Leah, exactly, Leah. Of course, that's the raya brings. Ki hashkocha elokis tabit tamid el hasnua v'titin lo asa b'chora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the hashkocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always to gaze, tabit to gaze, to look upon, to try to help who? The one that's not beloved, the one that's hated. Exactly like it says in Parashat Vayetzeh, v'yah Hashem ki snua Leah. The Barbanel is messiah with this following words, which I actually did not find these words, but I'm sure they're there. Ki Hashem yira b'nishbrei lev l'somcham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the brokenhearted ones to support them. The pasuk says, Karov Hashem l'nishbrei lev. God is close to people who have a broken heart. So the Torah is not saying, if the snua has the firstborn. No, it's a fact. The snua wife will have the firstborn. Why? Because she's crying out in pain. She's crying out to Kodesh Baruch Hu from a point of, I need your help. I'm a Nishmarei Lev. And that's why she's always going to be the one to have the firstborn. It says of Zilberstein, that oftentimes people come to him with tzaras. I mean, he highlights over here women who have difficulties in their family life and so on and so forth. And a lot of times with Siyata Dishmaya, he gives them practical advice and so on. But when all else fails, what does he tell them? Daven your heart out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're a Nishbrei Lev. You're one who's suffering. You have the best recipe for success in Tefillah. When a person feels Nishbrei Lev, when a person feels that he's broken, and he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah is telling us it's an automatic. It's going to happen. It's going to work. It's a different kind of Tefillah. And of course that works with people who need Shidduchim. Of course it works with people who need a Refuah. And of course it works for people who need Parnasa. All these elements. That the idea is when you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nishbrei Lev, it's automatic. It's mama's automatic. You just have to tap into it. Person goes through life and say, oh, I have so many tzaras. Oh, life's very challenging. Life's very challenging. Oh, bad mazel, all that kind of stuff. Pum faker. You say the exact opposite. When a person turns that into simcha, when a person turns that into tefillah, the koach of tefillah just is exponentially greater, which is fine. Which I just want to back this up, and just as we're going into the Yimei Adin, Yimei Ratzon, so in the Rav Karelichin Sefer, which is different pieces of advice how to be zocha and din. One of them is called the Tatzlin, we call Gzeres Achzarios, save me from all the difficult decrees. Why? Only to you do I turn. The same idea. When I'm brokenhearted, I have nowhere else to turn. I can't. They're no more practical and pieces of advice. No more practical things to do. All I do is inenu chatzuyos. Just a quote from the Slichos that we'll say on Ches Tishrei. Actually, that was the quote I just gave you right before Tkiyah Shofar. We say the following: Stones pi satan al yastin alenu. Close the mouth of the satan and don't let him prosecute us. Why? Because our eyes are to you, Kadosh Baruch Hu. What do we say in Yalav Yavo? Why? Our eyes are turned to you. And during Rosh Hashanah, one of the most beautiful pieces in the davening that I listened to is Ayin Nosin Lecha Hashemayim, right? Ayin Nosin Lecha Hashemayim. My eyes are turned to you in Shemayim. Leiv Shovchim Kamayim. My heart pours out like water. Vata tishma min hashamayim. So it says of Kralenshin's father, passed away I think last year, 2 years ago, Kolomar, the kevin, the noisen ayin rakla avinu shabbat shamayim, since your eyes are turned only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore lachain hu yishma min hashamayim, v'kavu shabbat seder. The whole idea is that we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we have nowhere else to turn, we're so broken, we feel like we're in trouble, we feel like we can't help ourselves, then boom, that's when the tefillahs help. And this pasuk is a raya, is a clear proof that this is the reality. A woman who's not beloved by her husband is going to be, as opposed to the one that is beloved, she's going to be the one that's for sure going to have the firstborn, because her tefillos have so much more power. That's number one. Number two, so, is that I'm sure everybody spoke about the idea that Kitzitzel Melchama Oloivecha, the Rechaim HaKadosh tells us that it's not merely referring to going out to war as a Jew, as a nation, but rather Tomei Mechamas Yitzhara Al Oyvecho is singular, and I think I've said this many times, but I think it's so true. Just to borrow the term from G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe says knowing is half the battle, and it's so poshut, in my opinion, that knowing is half the battle. Knowing that there is such a thing as the Yitzhara, knowing that there is such a thing as a Melchamot Yitzhara, is a different life. You can go through life and person say, oh, should I choose the cheeseburger or the kosher burger? Should I choose, oh my gosh, or should I, okay, I don't want to say that, oh my, the other thing is not a problem, but okay, assuming, or, for example, there's so many things that a person has choices all the time, and the answer is, should I wake up at 6, 7 o'clock or 7:05? Okay, so one would say, whether I wake up at 7 or 7:05, should I come to chakras at 7:30 or 7:40? Right, you think, okay, these are all, random choices in life. When you realize, hold on a second, the Yetzer Hara is trying to tell me, oh yeah, coming at 7:40 for 7:35 is a possibility, or 7:30 or 7:20, or coming to Seder on time, it's the Yetzer Hara. It's part of my, my life battle, my life's choices. So it's a whole different life. The people that, unfortunately, I'm sure we all know, that live life in cruise control. They're not. There's a war. There's the Yetzer Hara. Never heard of him. Don't know who he is. Never heard of him. Reminds me of the famous story they say over about a guy who came late to Shachris, like very late. And Mashgiach says, what happened to you? He said, what do you mean? I was fighting all morning with the Yetzer Hara. He said to come to shul. I said, he said, stay in bed. I said, I want to go to shul. He said, stay in bed. I said, go to shul. And finally I won after 2 hours. But it's at least in Madriga to know that there is such a thing as the Yetzer Hara. Otherwise, what's the point? When a person realizes that he's in a war, so then, already it's a Madriga. Shlomo Levinson quotes the Mesilas Yesharim in the 9th Perek. it's the paragraph of Mafsida has Rizus. Like things that slow us down. Roba Pacha V'Goydil Hamorim and Kipam Yir Me'akor Me'achom. Sometimes we'll say it's too cold outside. Sometimes we'll say it's too hot outside. Upam Me'apgoyim. Certain mishaps. Upam Me'achaloyim. We're not feeling well. Upam Me'aruach, the wind. We'll come up with a million excuses. And so Shlomo HaMelech said in the pasuk, Omar,
Otzel. A lazy person will say, Shachar Baderach, there's a young lion on the way. Aribe in Arachovas, there's a lion in the street. A person can come up with all different excuses. What does he have to do? He has to be Kitzetzi L'Melchama. He has to go out to war. When a person realizes he's in a war, and this is his goal, is to serve Hashem, and that's what he's here in life, then it becomes much more real and alive. And then you realize, oh, you know what? And then also, I think a huge thing, I remember hearing once from Reynor of Orlok, the following idea, and I think you can apply it. When you realize it's a war, then you take pride and chizuk in being successful. For example, I remember he said, when a person learns a line of Gemara and understands it, a person learns a few lines in a Tosfos and understands it, and he gets excited about it, so that makes a person feel good and want more. When a person realizes the Yitzhar is trying to say, you don't understand it, or you do understand it, you can move on, and so on. So that's the Yitzhar. And a person can become, a person doesn't feel success in his learning, right? So then he's like, oh, I'm not doing anything. And that's also the Yitzhar. When a person realizes the Yitzhar is trying to tell you, oh, you're not doing anything, one line is no big deal, then you'd be like, forget it. But when he realizes it's Yitzhar talking, you can combat him. He says, no, I just learned the line of Gemara. Gevaldik, I'm doing amazing. Mamash amazing. So I think, just to drive home the muscle, I'm not sure, let's try to connect this. I saw this morning from an email from a Rav in Ashdod, sent me emails, he said the following muscle. And I think it's very, very powerful. I'm realizing, as we go through Elul, Yom Nirayim, where we're going, he said the following muscle. That you have a frum shul, it's Rosh Hashanah, and a non-observant Jew comes in on Rosh Hashanah, and he's like, "Whoa, what's going on here? Everybody's doubting so intensely. Oh, this is like the New Year. I need, I got to do something. It's like the very end of the Rosh Hashanah davening, and he's like, "What should I do?" And they're like, "Okay, here, take a machzor and say whatever you can say in the next 10 minutes, whatever's left, and hopefully you get a good judgment for the year." That's the mashal. What the nimshal is, that for us, it used to be the whole Zman of Elul, people were mamash b'pachad. Everybody knows the famous stories of Yisrael Slater. He would say, Elul, do tshuva, and he would faint. Here we are, we're 1 week in, just less than 3 weeks away from the Yimei Adin. I'm not trying to scare anybody, I'm just trying to make people conscious of this idea. We're no better, I don't want to say, we're no better, we're similar to that non-observant Jew who walks in at the end of the Davening Rosh Hashanah and is like, oh, What should I do? There's a few minutes left. If we don't take advantage of Elul, the entire Elul, obviously, you have to be normal, you have to be calm. On the one hand, you have to be, level-headed. But on the other hand, we have to realize it's Elul. It's a different, we have to try to act in a different way. I saw last week that Siva Shalom once said that he passed through Elul, and he saw himself passing through Elul, passing through Rosh Hashanah, passing through Aseret Yemei Teshuva, passing through Yom Kippur, and he felt that he didn't properly do Teshuva yet. And then he woke up, because it was only a dream. And it was Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. Can you imagine, right? That's the majority that some people are on. That's the idea. And how could it be that I went through Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, was already dreaming about, he was already nervous that maybe I didn't do Teshuva yet until Yom Kippur. We have to, little by little, every single day, do a little bit more and think about it and be conscious of it, that not in a bad way, not in a crippling way, of course not, but in an empowering way. We spoke about it in the afternoon shir already, the three etzos that Rav Karanson wrote in the sefer. Number one, kol ma'avir al midosim ma'avir al amir al kol peshav. A person who's mevater, who's ma'avir al midos, which means he doesn't get angry at other people, he doesn't get upset by other people. Then Hashem says, oh, you don't get upset about when other people do stuff to you. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, mita connect mita. I won't hold things against you either. You don't hold things against people, I won't hold things against you. Number one. Number two, if you have mercy on creatures, human beings, of course, animals, you hold a door for somebody, you bring somebody some food, you have mercy on people. Kadosh Baruch Hu have mercy on you. Gevaldik. And this third thing that we just learned this morning, right? The exact quote, I like to quote from Tatsinin, we call Gezeras Achzarios. Kadosh Baruch Hu, save us from all bad decrees. Why? Because only to you to return. And we'll speak about Rosh Hashanah, the idea that we, even if you're not necessarily brokenhearted because Baruch Hashem life is good, but the fact that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving us so much bracha and we're so dependent upon Him should really spurn us to feel that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that they're only turning to a Kadosh Baruch Hu for His help. I just want to to hand off the story I saw, I heard this morning on my way in here. Very powerful story, and I'll maybe tie it in to Rabbi Zinkin's father's yahrzeit, which is today. That the Ponovitch Rav, when they were laying the cornerstone of Ponovitch, I imagine it was in the 50s, if I'm not mistaken, and maybe the late 40s, and he was crying at the cornerstone of the building of the great yeshiva called Ponovitch. And the Chazon Ish turned to him and he says, "Why are you crying?" So Ponovitch Rav, Rav Yosef Kahneman, said, these are tears from 57 years ago. And he told him the following story. He said, he grew up, he was a very, very poor family. And for some reason, it turned out that there's only one pair of boots. The other two pairs of boots broke or got ruined. And they had one pair of boots, and there were three brothers. Rav Yosef Kahneman was the youngest of the three brothers. And only one of them can go to the yeshiva the next morning. The oldest brother said, "I want to go to yeshiva. I want to. Tomorrow I'm learning Tosos." And the second brother said, "I want to go to yeshiva. I'm learning Rashi." And the third brother, Yosef Kahaneman, said, "I want to go to yeshiva. I'm learning Pasuk Chumash." So the mother said, "We're going to have a raffle. We're going to have a raffle. And whoever, you guys go to sleep. I'm going to have a raffle tonight. And whichever son wins the raffle, he'll get the boots and he'll go to yeshiva." So the morning comes. And she wakes up the oldest son, and she says, "Wake up, say, Moda Ani." He said, "Did I win the raffle?" She said, "No, I won the raffle. Get dressed." So he gets dressed, and she puts on the boots, and she carries him on her shoulders, and she drapes the coat over, because it's freezing cold, it's the winter, I should have explained that. And she drapes the coat over him, and she takes him to the yeshiva, and she walks home. And then she walks home, and she wakes up the second son, and she said, "Wake up, say, Moda Ani." And the second son says, "Did I win the raffle?" She said, "No, I win the raffle." Get dressed. He gets dressed. She puts him on his shoulders. She drapes the coat over him, takes him to yeshiva, goes and comes back, and wakes up the third son, Yosef Kahneman, says, "Wake up, say Moda Ani. Did I win the raffle?" "No, I'm sorry, I won the raffle." Gets him dressed, puts him on her shoulders, drapes the coat over him, and she starts to walk. And she starts to cry. And Rav Yosef Kahneman understood that she was crying over the challenge of schlepping the snow, three kids, a half-hour walk each way, whatever it was. And he said to him, "Mommy, don't worry. One day I'll repay your tears." And he said to Chazon Ish, 57 years later, "The tears that my mother cried for my chinuch, for my growth in Torah, and what from her tears came this yeshiva," which of course is still today, which is the major yeshiva. You see that what a parent can give into the mother's chashis and love for Torah and mesiris nefesh for her children could do so much. I think it was said last year in the shmooz. I haven't posted it. I really should get on the case and post it. But Rav Zinkin said that his father grew up had a non-religious background. On his own, at a high school age, he decided he's going to be a Ben Torah. And what you see is bonding with children and grandchildren that are oseg b'Torah mitzvos. The most amazing thing. Right? When a person goes ahead and shows a love for Torah and a love for mitzvos, what his descendants can do, the type of message that is given over to the next generation is unfathomable, is invaluable, is immeasurable. You saw the excitement of Torah that goes on, right? It was like, it's incredible, the power of each and every person. I think I said this in the shmooze last year, and you saw this, what one person can do. When a person goes ahead and lives a life of Torah and mitzvos and gives it over to his children, it passes along. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya to, number one, whenever we need to feel like we're in Ishbrei Lev so we can have our tefillos answered. Number two, always know that you're fighting with Yetzirah every moment. Should I pay attention to this shmooze or should I not pay attention? Should I incorporate it into my life? Should I not incorporate it in my life? Should I just let it slide? Every second is the Yetzirah is fighting with you, but you have to know you're in the middle of a battle. And number three, the yisodos of life, of Yiddishkeit, what a person can accomplish when he shows a chashivas of Torah, right? I think I said this last week, but I'll say it again anyway. When should a person start learning and training himself how to raise children? The answer is now. If you develop a chashivas of Torah, you develop proper midos, now is the time. Then you'll be able to bezocha to have amazing children, Bez Hashem. And the same, and just one more point that I didn't review is that it's Elul, this less than 3 weeks before the Yemei Adin, she'll be zeuche to amazing Elul, and after that, a follow-up of an amazing Ksiva v'Chesima Torah. Have a great Shabbos.